It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Craig, when you look at where you are always in the standings, right? It's about making moves based on maybe what other teams are doing around you. And I think you're fortunate enough, even though you're on this little bit of a slump, the teams that you're chasing are kind of struggling a little bit. Does that make it even more important for you to capitalize on this opportunity, knowing that all three wild cards positions are within grasp?
Yeah, I think that's a fair characterization here, in that, we can't do this alone, right? There are interactions between us and other teams. I think the other night when, I looked up, I think every team maybe outside of Cleveland that was ahead of us in the standings had lost. And so, when you win, there's a chance to gain ground. And if, a couple of those days that we didn't win, we didn't lose a ton. So I think, it's really, really important for us to kind of stay in range of the teams that we're chasing, to stay, close to that wild card spot. And obviously, the goal is to get back into playoff contention and, not just, as Alex had said, vie for the third wild card or the second wild card, but to make as much noise as we possibly can.
That was Red Sox chief baseball officer Craig Breslow answering a question on the Greg Hill Show. Speaking of the Greg Hill Show, producer du jour Chris Scheim joining me.
Hello.
Andy Hart here on Fitzy and Hart on a nice late July afternoon here in the greatest sports city in the world. Talking Red Sox, because one of the great rivalries in sports history, baseball history, continues tonight. 5 minutes or so from here, not too far from here at Fenway Park.
Yes, sir.
Aaron Judge and the Yankees try to get another win over the Red Sox. Red Sox would like to sort of right the ship here. Just the guys that are in the clubhouse, just the guys that are here. Forget about what Craig Breslow adds in the next couple days, changes in the next couple days. Rewrite the narrative or the script that's going on, which includes the Red Sox blowing. I'm just going to leave it there. Blowing games late. I'm not going to pause. And playing cleaner baseball, let's say. Cleaner baseball would help.
Winning today, though, I think just winning today's game for the Sox is kind of, I wouldn't say momentous, but like a big moment, just because it's like, oh, you can outright say like, oh, we took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. Like, yeah, we continue to, like, yeah, we've lost, we were only 3-6 in our last 9 if you win tonight. That may be the case, but we just took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. Right. We're good. We're on the right pace. We're on the right track here.
And that's pretty much always Cora's barometer.
Yeah, win the series.
And, I thought Friday night's win was a sneaky big win.
Yeah, very much so.
Then you kind of maybe had a sneaky big loss yesterday.
Maybe.
So now maybe don't make it sneaky, just sneaky win the series
and win.
And go out there and sort of advance the narrative moving forward. 617-779-7937. We're talking short-term issues that they've had. Bullpen, defense, base running yesterday. We go back to the phone lines. Wally in Fall River wants to talk about something with the Red Sox that's kind of been an issue all year long. Welcome to the program, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It's going to be interesting to see what happens when the dust settles Wednesday morning, how the Red Sox look. You look at Randy Rosarin, he went for a can of beans and 2 bologna sandwiches. And then, of course, Right?
He
didn't
cost
much to get him.
Nope.
The same way with Jack Eflin. Very cheap. So anything can happen, guys. Even Vlad Guerrero. Could you imagine him and Rafi in the same lineup at Fenway Park? Oh. It'd be like having Manny Ortiz again. But there's guys. There's still other guys. We need to start in pitching. You just can't have your starters go 4 or 5 innings or 6 innings every night. You bring in 3 guys from the bullpen. They're not all going to be perfect every night. But I think the other caller said there's no more guys with rubber arms that can give you, you know, middle inning relievers like Wakefield was and Bronson Arroyo to some extent. All these guys have arm trouble. Every pitcher in the league now has arm trouble. But we're going to have to see what Breslow does. We got 2 Mickey Mouse deals already, so we'll see what he does. But I'm all in, but I'd love to see Vlad in Fenway Park for the rest of the season.
All right, thanks for the call, Wally. I think everybody would. Now,
yeah, of course. That's the dream, but it's not
how you go about doing that. I don't know if everybody's in on trading Anthony or Mayer or whoever it would take to maybe get Vlad.
Yep.
It's funny because, like, we would all say, do you want Vlad? Yes.
Yes.
Like, just that's your reaction. But then the devil is in the details. What did I give up?
Yeah, it's not as easy as in, like, football where it's like, yeah, just send out first-round draft picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have to send out actual players.
Right. Like, Brandon Ayuk, would you give a first-round pick? Yes. No.
Yeah,
okay.
Duh.
Moved on. Now, in right, this world would be like, would you trade Christian Gonzalez and Pop Douglas for Brandon Ayuk?
I don't know.
More similar to what it is in baseball.
100%.
You're getting the proven talent that certainly, I don't know if, it, I mean, probably a little bit of a stretch to say it's Ramirez and Ortiz from back in the day, but it certainly gives you a righty-lefty pop punch that
which
is...
Which would be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And that's where I am right now, just to really rewind in the big picture here. I never thought that 4 practices into Patriots training camp, I would be thinking about the Red Sox, be caring about the Red Sox,
yeah,
both professionally, but also personally. I've been clicking the Red Sox on almost every night.
Yep.
And I thought that wouldn't happen this year. I came in, and I'll be honest with you, some of it was founded on Alex Cora's sort of negative tone entering spring training. Like, I kind of fed off of him because I was not expecting much from the team. I thought his talking was kind of like he didn't really expect much from the team. He was kind of a lame duck manager playing out the stretch. And then you get into the year and it's like, are they kind of fun?
Yeah.
As the 401 says, baseball is sometimes fun. Joe in Rhode Island
would agree.
And this year it has been
fun. It has been fun.
And now,
for Red Sox fans,
build off the fun.
Yeah, you have to continue that. You can't just, like, let it all fall to the wayside. You have to build off of this.
Because the reality is they've kind of been in this position every year for in recent years.
Correct.
And then it falls apart, and you kind of, in your brain, remember the totality of the season differently.
Yep.
But they've been on the cusp of a wild card berth every year. Then they don't do anything. Then it falls apart. Then you're just in last place, and you kind of stink, and no one cares. I would like to care. I would like to have... You know, we're going to get into the Reds, the Patriots in a little bit. I'm a little bit down on the local football team.
How dare you?
I'd like to have the opportunity to say in September, if the Patriots aren't really enthralling me, that the Red Sox are fun, though.
You also just, within this city, you have such an opportunity to gain traction again, right? Like, it's you've been awful for, you know, 3 of the last 4 years or 4 of the last 5, whatever it's been. And you look around, Celtics just won an NBA title. But luckily for you, the Patriots might be bad again. Who knows? They have a young quarterback, but people don't necessarily, you can't really, you know, predict exactly what's going to happen in the NFL season. So they could be really bad again. The people have just been soured by the Bruins a lot just because of the collapses and the inability to get it done in the playoffs. And so maybe there's an opportunity there for you to regain some traction in the city. Like with the Celtics, you know, post championship, now they're not going to be on for a while. You have a chance where if you add at the deadline and you add some more pop to this lineup and add some more pitching and make this team really competitive and really push for a playoff chance to just garner some interest again with the people who kind of left you over the last few years.
And I don't think it's a stretch. Hear me out. Going to sound stupid on first look.
Okay.
I don't think it's a stretch to say the Red Sox could be the most fun team in Boston. Because the Celtics crossed over from fun into, like, expectant.
Like, so good they're boring?
But beyond that, there was only win the Eastern Conference Finals, go to the finals, win the finals. Like, there was... This Red Sox team
it's
can come up short.
It's all gravy.
And so you can just enjoy Jaren Duran running around like crazy super fast, or you can enjoy a one-off bomb, or just enjoy we made the playoffs as a wild card team. Yep. We don't have to think we're going to the World Series. Whereas when the Bruins win the President's Cup and set the record for points.
Yes. And then get bounced in the first round.
Right. Or the Celtics, like, you had to go very deep into the playoffs, if not
wire to wire, you were the best team in basketball.
You were selling Banner 18. It was like kind of, you know, championship or bust.
Part of the
banner
mission.
Or bust, right? Yep. There's no banner or bust. It's not pennant or pop, to take it. Alliteration. Banner or bust, pennant or pop.
Yeah, I get you.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I tried to
pennant or pop. No, like, you can just be good. You can just be fun. Let's achieve. Let's turn the clock back when wild cards for the Patriots mattered. Like, you felt good the team made the playoffs, right? And they're going to get back to that point. Yeah, they're just eventually. Not yet back to that point. So,
a year away. You know.
We are still kind of figuring out how we feel about the Red Sox, figuring out how we feel about what they're going to do with the trade deadline with Craig Breslow. And before we go to the trending, let's go to Ralph in Cranston and get his his take on the Sox and what they are right now heading into the trade deadline. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, guys, you know, you're excited about it. You said you're watching it. The people are calling in. This is just what this team wants. They want the excitement. Now, Cora, I take Cora exactly the opposite as most people take it. Now, Cora doesn't want to manage long. He's got 3 years. He's the second highest paid manager. He doesn't want to move around. Everyone knows he wants to go into the front office someday and not too far in the distance. Cora's a perfect manager for them. He has shown that he can put a competitive team out there. He can make guys that aren't that good hustle and play better, and you don't have to sign big free agents to get that out of Cora. He's perfect for them. And I'll tell you something else. I cannot believe that Jansen's still with this team because it could have made them better in the future, which is where I want to see them. I don't believe in this team at all going anywhere this year. And a lot of people think they are, but it's fun. It's fun to watch it. But if they don't trade Jansen, it's basically because they'd get paralyzed. Like, oh, he traded the closer. But he's leaving at the end of the year, and he's already said it. He wants to go pitch for the Dodgers. And you know, he's got a hot condition. If you can overpay, get something to overpay, you do it. They're not probably going to do it because they can always say, look, we don't have to re-sign him. Yeah, he doesn't want to stay here. So to me, what I read this as, and who knows who's right, is that they just want to maintain the same business model. They're never going to sign big free agents. They want a competitive team. That's what they care about. They care about the business, and that's not changing. I'm sorry, guys. That's how I look at it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ralph. I think the business side of things, the John Henry and the Sam Kennedy probably look at it that way. But I think over the last week, we've all gotten comfortable with the fact that Cora and Breslow may be more on our side. And when I say our side, like the side of we're Boston, we got to try to win, we got to take advantage of
teams
that are good.
And you know the players are on our side. I mean, Tyler O'Neill said it to Bradford. He's like, I hope we add at the deadline. I want to feel what it's like to play playoff baseball in Boston.
And it's fun. I can tell you, it's fun.
A blast.
Fenway Park will be rocking.
What was that year we were two games away from the World Series? Is that 22 or 21?
21.
Yeah, that season was so much fun. I remember being at one of the games against the Yankees. Like, it's just there's electricity in the stadium, and you can just feel it. And it's different when you look back on the Tom Brady years or like this past year with the Celtics. It doesn't feel like that because it's never an expectation.
Right.
It's just enjoy. You're just enjoying being in the moment.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we want again.
And I think we have a chance to get that, but we'll see. There's another team in town that we're in the midst of the early stages of figuring out who they are, what they are, and what they will be in September, October, November, and December. That's your New England Patriots. That's Drake May, the beginning of the era. That's Gerard Mayo, beginning of the era, or error. We will find out in the coming weeks and months. We are going to switch gears here. We're going to talk Patriots. I think it's pretty impressive. Two football guys, two hardos, two Awaken 180 representatives who look good, feel good, and love the pigskin. We gave you 2+ hours of passionate, honest Red Sox talk, but it is time because training camp has taken hold in Foxborough.
About that time.
They are putting the pads on tomorrow. The Kenny Chesney is like in the background, the Boys of Fall. It's that time of year.
Oh.
We're going to start talking football. Top of the hour, we'll actually have a guest. We will talk to Mike Dassault from Patriots.com, get a recap of what happened on the practice fields today and what's happened through the first 4 days of camp. So we're going to get to a trending, and then after that, we're going to get to some good old-fashioned summertime Patriots talk where I tell you just how many wins the Patriots will have this year.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 11-8, the final in extras. Another blown save for the Red Sox bullpen. That makes it a league-leading 7 since the end of the All-Star break. They'll be back in action in the rubber match against the Yankees tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. Tanner Houck gets the start for the Sox opposite Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione will have all the play-by-play action. First pitch at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Trade deadline now just 3 days away. Red Sox and Yankees both active on the market. Red Sox yesterday acquiring catcher Danny Jansen from the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for 3 prospects, while the Yankees acquired shortstop slash outfielder Jazz Chisholm from the Miami Marlins, also in exchange for 3 prospects. Trade deadline set for Tuesday at 6 p.m. Team USA basketball kicked off their Olympic campaign this morning, defeating Nikola Jokic and Serbia, 110-84 the final. Kevin Durant leading the way for Team USA with 23 points, Jrue Holiday added 15, and Derek White with 2. Jason Tatum did not play in the game. Next game set for Wednesday afternoon against South Sudan. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Boston's sports original.
I'm just, you know, everyone wants to see everyone get better every day, but remember, it's just not a straight shot to being a good football team. It's a process, which we have been preaching for a long time. One thing I will say is, and this has been, you know, historically, the defense will always be ahead of the offense. The defense will always be ahead of the offense. Now, the offense, obviously, they're still gelling together. And we have a lot of guys on defense that already know the scheme. So, you know, it's hard to jump to conclusions. You know, are these guys going to be good? Are they bad? Like, I don't know, and I don't think you guys know either. I don't even think, you know, the coaches out there know. But one thing I will say, it's about competition, and it's about getting better each and every day, not only on the field but also off the field.
Feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Thank you, Kenny, I needed that.
You're a big Kenny Chesney guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I like Kenny Chesney.
I do too.
And I love this song.
Yeah, this
for like an old
great.
School
football
hardo high school football player type.
Yeah.
That's like your anthem. That's whatever. That's everything. And you hear that, and I feel like you can believe Gerard Mayo, that competition and improving every day, and or maybe you even hear your own high school coach, his voice saying what Gerard Mayo is saying, and there's hope, and you really believe that these five stiffs that they have on the offensive line can come together and block for Drake May, and that Jalen Reagor, once a first-round pick, is going to show first-round talent here in Foxborough, and Tyquan Thornton's going to stay healthy.
Don't wish
and,
that part.
And Devon Godshaw is just going to shut up and play football. And Matthew Judon is going to live up to his contract. He's going to have 15 sacks. And Christian Gonzalez, you're like, is he Sauce Gardner? Is he Deion Sanders? Is he Darrell Revis?
Always
some combination
like
of them. You know, Kyle Duggar. Is he Jamal Adams when Jamal Adams was a good thing back in the day?
Okay.
Like, it's all
when he got traded for two first-round picks. I like that.
Chad Ryland's going to split the uprights, not miss him by 5 feet either direction.
He's Justin Tucker.
He's Justin Tucker. And these new kickoff rules, is there any team more ready to take advantage of it than a team that has Marcus Jones and Jabril Peppers and all these versatile athletes
like
they can put
like
back
this.
There.
I and, like that a lot.
And Ramondre Stevenson, is he Saquon Barkley?
No,
is
he's
he
not.
A
Let's
poor man's
that one.
Sake? I believe all of those things when I listen to The Boys of Fall from Kenny Chesney. And then the song stops, and it's like
reality sets
oh,
in.
Oh, reality is they stink, and they
Kenny
might
also has a song called Reality. Great
yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah. This is this is reality, and the reality is I've said it all along, and expectations are low for the Patriots. 4.5 wins for Vegas. A lot of places that have been doing their season predictions are giving the Patriots 3 wins.
I think it was USA Today had them at the worst record in football,
USA
right?
Today, and there was another one that came out shortly thereafter that had 3-14 worst record in football. Maybe in Fox Sports. There was definitely another outlet. And ESPN had them with the number one overall pick when they had a mock draft.
How dare they?
For next year. So,
what do you think this is?
I think this is reality.
No, it's not.
I think there is really a chance that they only win like 3 games, despite Gerard Mayo on your show. I don't know why they call it the Greg Hill Show. I think it's your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I call it your show.
No,
the
that
Chris Scheim Show in the mornings.
It's a lot of ish sounds.
And there's a lot of ish going on there.
That's true.
And one of those in January was Gerard Mayo, correct me if I'm wrong, guaranteeing that they'd have more than 4 wins this year.
Yes, he did.
You shouldn't write checks that you may not be able to cash, Gerard. Because I think
no, he's right.
There's an uphill battle there. But that's what we're going to talk about now. We've shifted gears. The optimism or pessimism of the Red Sox is going to be replaced by optimism or pessimism for the Patriots, because there are people in this town. They may work for other radio stations. I haven't heard it firsthand, but I've been told that there is a person in this town who believes the Patriots are going to win not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7, not 8, not 9, but 2 hands worth, 10 football games this year, 10-7.
Interesting. There's someone actually said that?
On the air.
Put their name behind it?
In Boston. Maybe a competitor of yours.
Oh.
Maybe a competitor of yours says they're going to win 10 football games.
Trying to out-homer me? What are we doing here?
Cold Hard Football Facts, I believe, has them at 7 projected wins.
Okay.
Chris Scheim.
Yeah.
Let me go the other way. So we got 10, we got 7, and then we got Andy Hart, who's taken a lot of flack for this, but therefore that flack that I've taken has made me steer into it because I've watched practice.
Always.
You going to give me flack, I'm going to steer into it, baby.
Yeah. It's your way.
After I watched a OTA practice in the spring, after I watched them practice against air and fail to complete passes against air, air kicked their ass. Air was dominant that day.
Air Bud. Great
nope,
movie.
Nope, just air.
Oh, okay.
Just air. The clear stuff you can't touch that can't actually knock down passes unless it's a windy day in Buffalo.
Okay.
I think 0 wins is in play. And now, people get really mad at me. Internally, people laughed at me in the organization. I can tell you, I texted somebody and I said that, and they just said, quote, you're going to look really stupid.
Yes.
And I
agree
said,
with whoever said that. Whoever said that's a really smart person.
And they think so, too.
Yeah.
And when they sent that, I just replied, wouldn't be the first time. We've all done it.
That's true.
When you have this job.
I said trade the pick for Joe Burrow. We've all been there.
The whole thing.
We make mistakes.
I just think there are so many questions for this team. And they... You can pick and choose, and maybe we'll do that here, 617-779-7937. What's your biggest question for the Patriots as a fan right now? Is it Alex Van Pelt, his new scheme, his ability to do the job? Is it Drake May? Is he good enough? Did you not want him? Did you want him? When
Definitely
does he play?
Not.
Is it Gerard Mayo? Is he going to be the man that Robert Kraft believes he is, the leader of men, the creator of culture, like this iconic figure who may or may not still have a mural of himself at Gillette Stadium as the beacon that everybody is going to be led to. Is Robert Kraft a question? He's all in on Gerard Mayo. Jonathan Kraft, What are they going to be feeling 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks into this season? You know, that, oh my God, I've made a terrible mistake. I just woke up and this is a bad reality. Is it the defense that is overrated? Receivers, the offensive line, the questions? What are your questions that you have for your New England Patriots? So join the conversation, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. So Chris Scheim, two-part question.
Okay.
I'm going to channel my inner John Dennis here.
Oh boy.
Who once called me Andy Fart, Andy Shart, liked to mock me.
How dare he?
How dare he? A, realistic win total expectation.
Yep.
Somewhere between 0 that I've said and 10 that one of your competitors has said. I don't want to limit you.
No. Between 0 and 17. No undefeated seasons here, Andy.
Okay.
0 and 16.
And what's your biggest question facing this team?
Yeah, okay, so this is easy. My realistic win total, I have the Patriots at 7-10.
7 wins?
Yeah.
In one season?
Yeah, in this season. Yes, the 2024 season. I've been bouncing back and forth between 6 and 7 for the last couple months.
So nearly double last year's win total.
Yes.
So your guy, Gerard Mayo,
yep.
Mayo Mondays?
Yep.
Mondays with Mayo?
Yep.
He is going to win 7 football games.
Correct, yeah.
In his 7. First season. So yes. He'll have a better first season in Foxborough than Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 7 games.
Do
7
tell.
So here's the thing. Like, I look at this schedule. I look at last year, and there were multiple games you lost by one possession that you probably should have won. In particular, a couple just to mention, that Colts game, should have won that game. Mac Jones threw quite possibly the worst interception I've ever seen in my life.
You can get rid of the quite possibly.
Okay, you're right.
That's the worst interception I've ever seen in my life.
I was trying to be nice.
Actually, there's one other I have in my mind, but I'll be nice to a family member and not bring it up on the radio.
So that game, the Giants game, the Chargers game, and the Commanders game. Those 4 games in particular, the ones that stand out to me, where it's like, you probably should have won those games.
Mm.
And you didn't. If you had mediocre to league average quarterback play, you probably win all 4 of those games, and you're at, what is that, 8 wins last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I look at that, and I go, okay, your quarterback play, even if it's Jacoby Brissett, is still better than last year. Marginally better. If it's Drake May, it's way better. If it's Jacoby Brissett, it's marginally better than last year. So that's positive. And I feel like Bill Belichick is a phenomenal coach. But what was good, the chaos he had created and kind of sown himself within that organization, by putting in Gerard Mayo, who is creating a sense of unity and culture, I think kind of helps the team overall. Like, it's very different. He may lack the actual in-game ability that Bill Belichick has. They may not be equals. They aren't equals, to be completely exact. They are not equals. But I think the positives Gerard brings in the culture and the unity of the team matter. I think that stuff matters in football, where it may not matter in other sports. It matters here. And so I think that is kind of not necessarily a wash, slightly in favor of Bill, but more or less a wash, whereas the quarterback play is going to be better. Therefore, I think they win more games than last year, and that's how I got to 7. What was the second question again? Oh, biggest concern.
I don't know. I'm still chewing on all that. Yeah. A lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah, you're welcome. My biggest concern with this team would probably be the offensive line. I just think, I think you have a starting 5. I just don't know how good the starting 5 is.
Oh, I do.
I know you do. You have your opinions. You just said that there's a chance they win 0 games, which I think is asinine. So
genius walks alone.
Yeah, it's fine.
And so do I.
Yeah, same. I would say my biggest concern is offensive line.
Okay, so offensive line is becoming more and more of a concern for me as I watch
these
practices. I
really think that's my only concern.
See, I have a concern with Alex Van Pelt, and he seems like a really nice man.
Yeah.
I just want to see where this scheme goes. I have this question that it struggles to be answered. He's answered it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I loved the answer or if it was just sort of a rationalization type answer, but 15 years ago, he was the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
15 years ago, he was the offense. In a world where if you can spell the word offense and know what a forward pass is, they give you opportunities to advance.
Sure.
He hasn't been given the chance since. Now, he's been in places where the head coach was the offensive guy, and that's part. But why? Like, Sean McVay's the offensive guy in L.A., and yet his disciples and his underlings
are getting jobs left and right.
Get jobs left and right. So, a quarterback in the NFL who was an offensive coordinator just never got shots until now. So, and we know how he got this shot. It was really, no disrespect to him. I want to be respectful in my questioning of his
resume.
Yeah. Like, we know he was the 12th interview, 14th interview, whatever number.
Yeah, but like, I look at other guys around the league, and I just think that this league is so incestuous at times that it's like, there's reasons why certain people don't get promoted and don't get jobs, and it's not necessarily any fault of their own at times. Like, I mean, I look
he's
at a guy
also white.
I look at a guy like,
just want to throw that out there, because sometimes people believed that what's his name in Kansas City,
Eric
Bieniemy.
Bieniemy.
It became like, it's got to be racial. He's a black coach. No one wants a black. Like, remember that was sort of a, because he's so good. He's with Andy Reid.
Yeah, how is he not getting
a chance? That's not a question without.
But like, I look around the NFL and I look at a guy like Clint Kubiak, who is now the offensive coordinator in New Orleans, I believe, has had a million offensive coordinator jobs at this point. He continues to get them, and yet zero head coach, even thoughts, like nothing even close. And like, you look at a guy like Kellen Moore, keeps bouncing around now.
Yep.
And I think that there's guys that just, they just constantly keep bouncing around, and people don't feel the need to promote them and don't want to give them a chance. But I think like a guy like Kellen Moore, I think is actually pretty good. And sometimes you get stuck in crappy situations. It's probably a bad choice by you of picking that job in the first place. But I think guys deserve opportunities. And we've seen Alex Van Pelt, at the very least, and I know it's a very small sample size, did coach a playoff game for the Browns, and they won the game, and the offense was pretty good. And I understand, and Kevin Stefanski was not present. Was he there helping prepare the entire week prior to the game? Yeah, sure. Yes. But regardless, he was in the game doing it and called the plays and did the job, and they won the game. I think that's a positive for him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying he's without merit.
Yeah.
I actually think I'm giving him credit for his merit and wondering why it didn't get him more opportunities faster at a higher level.
Well, because I think people are just, he's not in with the McVay tree.
He's not cool.
Well, he doesn't, he's not on the McVay tree. He's not on the Shanahan tree. So that immediately knocks him down like 20 spots on the list behind everybody else who's ever breathed the same air as them. And then it's part of the Stefanski tree. And I mean, I don't think anybody, like, Stefanski's a good coach, but nobody's like thrilled by Kevin Stefanski.
He's the coach of the year. He's been the coach of the year two of the last 4 years.
Yeah, but he doesn't run He doesn't run a very inspiring form of offense. It's very kind of vanilla-y, and so I don't think anybody looks to him
so
in his
tree. Vanilla offense with vanilla talent, but we're going to win 7 games.
Hey, so I don't know if Alex Van Pelt's going to call the offense the same way.
We don't even have vanilla talent. We have poop talent.
All right, Andy.
Be an upgrade to call it vanilla.
Yeah, a lot of it's vanilla, I would say.
But no,
and vanilla can be. Hey, hold on. By the way, vanilla, very underrated flavor at times. It's wrongly maligned. It is good. It's solid. It's can be yummy, especially with some apple pie. Delightful.
Oh, but see, you took the bait.
What bait did I take?
You had to give it pie. You had to put it with pie.
By
you had to pair it with pie.
I like vanilla ice cream.
How
by
itself.
How
often have you just been like, I would really like a bowl of plain vanilla ice cream?
Oh, plenty of times in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You crave vanilla ice cream?
Yes.
Why?
You don't?
No. I crave like a skillet brownie with vanilla ice cream on top. Or
I crave that all the time. I love brownies.
If I crave ice cream, it's more likely to be like my favorite flavor recently, Yagu Valley S'mores. Unbelievable.
I love s'mores. But
s'mores ice cream is one of the great developments in recent years.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, vanilla's not my favorite flavor of ice cream, but there are times where I'm just like, I just really want a bowl of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, I don't ever have that feeling.
All right. Well,
and I would never buy vanilla ice cream in the store, quite honestly, unless it was in particular to go on top of
something else.
Some pie, some something. Yeah. Or if I got vanilla.
Vanilla soft serve is elite.
Yeah, but that's a different thing. I feel like that's its own. It's different. And
okay.
Do you get a dip?
No.
You know,
just
no
vanilla
dip on
soft
it?
Serve.
No sprinkles?
No. Just give me the vanilla soft serve.
Yeah. Because if I just...
God, that is vanilla soft serve is elite.
If I go to the grocery store and let's just say like it's the opposite of a like bread and milk thing where I go and all that's left is vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going next?
The ice cream store? Like the an actual ice cream place?
No. No. All I can get is the vanilla ice cream. I'm going to the aisle that has toppings.
Because
I'm going to get some sort of syrup, caramel syrup to put on top, butterscotch sauce.
Make some Reese's in.
Something to jazz it up a little
bit. Gotcha, okay.
Because vanilla is vanilla. It's fine.
No,
between
it's
two
delightful.
Warm cookies, it's a good ice cream sandwich.
Oh, so good.
There's a lot of ways vanilla can be very
vanilla
good.
Vanilla is the most versatile of the ice creams, without a doubt.
I would say that is accurate.
Yeah.
But its versatility is due to
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes. It can't stand alone. It needs to be versatile. It's not good enough.
I guess I'm the outlier then.
Yeah. No, you're not the outlier. There's a kid that's at my house all the time. All he'll eat. Everybody will be like, do you want to have ice cream? And he's like, do you have vanilla? No, we have cookies and cream, for example, or something. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Cookies and cream also.
But if you have plain vanilla, he'd be like, oh, I'll have a bowl.
Yeah.
That's just weird. You just like vanilla? What are you, 107?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
You take your teeth out to gum it, too?
I like many, many flavors of ice cream. I'm just saying vanilla is up there on my list.
617-779-7937. If you want to talk ice cream, we're here for another hour plus. If you want to talk Patriots, we're going to delve into Drake May and how you're feeling about him. We all know most of us loved him in the spring. Leading up to the draft and then the draft selection, he's not Mac Jones. You needed a quarterback. You wanted a quarterback. Well, he's had OTAs. He's had minicamp. Mm-hmm. He's now had 4 days of training camp. He's not yet had pads.
Nope.
But he has plenty of practice time under his belt, and I'm going to share how I have maybe altered my feelings a little bit, and we'll get Chris Scheim's view on that.
Cool.
We will continue to chug along talking Patriots, ice cream, and anything else. 617-779-7937. Remember, top of the hour, straight from the practice field, straight from Patriots.com. Mike Dussault will give us a update on what went on in Foxborough today. This is Fitzy and Hart without Fitzy. A little hour plus to go here on WEEI.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Just saying that, you know, you have a nice moment with you from the sense of through your first interception camp.
Yeah.
Came right back and threw a completion. What does that mean to you? What kind of lesson is that for
you? Yeah, that's part of it, man. You can't ride the ups and downs. I come at it, you know, every play is a new play. And I just can't, you know, be too hard on myself. Sometimes I get hard on myself, especially like I said, throw my first interception, but just gotta bounce back. It's how you bounce back in this league, and you know, I'm starting to learn that, and I bet it's a lot different in the game when it, you know, really matters. So that's what practice is for.
Ooh, yeah. You might been hurt, babe.
We had a camera on in studio right now because skinny Chris Scheim really doing a whole act here to Drake May's theme song.
Oh, I love this song. NSYNC hits, man. They're great.
Justin Timberlake claims he was not intoxicated and the police screwed up, according to his lawyer. Same.
Same. Hey, you know.
But yes, Drake May is the topic of the summer, of every day, of every practice, of every week.
Deservedly so.
We enter the season. He's the future of the team. He is not yet the present, as Jerod Mayo made clear prior to the start of camp.
Dumb.
Jacoby Brissett's our starter. Till that changes, we'll find out when that is. Is that before week one? Is that in week two? Is that in week five? You know, some people, Dan Orlovsky, is that in 2026 after he sits for 2 years?
Disgusting.
You know, that's...
What a horrible take.
Yeah, one of the worst. One of the worst of all time. From
a guy, draft a guy at 3 and sit him for 2 years. How stupid are you?
And from a guy who I generally enjoy, like, I think he works hard and isn't just, like, a hot take artist and... That was just, I didn't really get that.
Especially in today's modern NFL. Like, CJ, I was lucky enough to get to go to preseason last year, and I got to see the Patriots-Texans game, and I said, I remember being there, looking and seeing, like, C.J. Stroud was taking 2 overall. Are we sure? And then he had, like, the greatest rookie season I've ever seen.
Because in that game, he threw a hideous pick.
Yeah, he looked, oh, he got a couple, sacked a couple times.
Somebody forgot to tell him he's actually left-handed. He threw with the wrong hand.
Yeah, and I was like, what is this? And then he went on to have a phenomenal regular season. I go, ah, that's the guy I thought I knew.
So, it's like, interesting you bring up C.J. Stroud because that's the comp that positive Patriots fans want to believe.
Yep.
Houston, C.J. Stroud, New England, Drake May,
yes.
The turnaround, D'Amico Ryans, the whole thing. Yep. That's not going to happen. It just happened last year. It's not going to happen.
Unfortunately, there's a couple differences. You don't have Bobby Slowick.
You just told me you liked Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, not as much as I love Bobby Slowick. To be fair, I have loved Bobby Slowick before he even called a single play
Why?
For the Houston Texans. I like me some Bobby Slowick. Andy.
How do you fall in love with Bobby Slowick?
He worked for Kyle Shanahan, that's how. No,
so you're one of them.
Yeah, I love Shanahan,
you
know this.
People.
Stop, you know.
I'm doing a solid job today, according to the 508.
Shout out to the 508.
It's not quite as good as Andy. You need your own show.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
Get it. All right,
dude. That was a much better text, but you
flex,
getting yours.
Flex a little harder, Andy. You and your abs, like it's fine. You don't have Bobby Slowick, and I don't know this yet, but I would like to go out on a limb and say I don't think Jerod Mayo is as good a defensive coach as D'Amico Ryans is. I think D'Amico Ryans is one of the very much more talented defensive coordinators that we have in football right now. I don't believe Jerod Mayo is quite on the same level. Those, to me, would be the two biggest differences between the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. I also don't think you necessarily have a Nico Collins on this roster, but that's neither here nor there.
I think you're lacking a lot of things on this roster.
Yeah, the left tackle that they have is pretty good.
Be a prime example of a spot that I'd love
good.
To shore up. And that's where, so I want to go back. So you have them with 7 wins.
Yes.
That's 7. Why,
yeah, but that's the difference,
in
right?
In 2024.
Correct. That's
not over the next 2 years.
Like, people want to use the Texans as the example. I don't think you're going to be a playoff team.
Okay,
I don't think you're even going to be making noise right there at the end of the season.
Will there be a path in November? Remember
doubtful.
The path talk
unlikely.
We've had in past yeah. bad seasons?
Yes, unlikely. There might be by some people, but unlikely.
Okay.
So, like, I don't think you're ever going to be a borderline playoff team here, but, like, I think you're going to be right around that 9 to 12th pick in the draft area.
Okay. So, let me flip the script on you a little bit.
Okay,
so, you kind of brought up a common argument, which is also, in some ways, an understandable argument that mm-hmm. you had a lot of one-score games. You return your defense. Mayo's talking about it. You have continuity on defense. It
yeah.
should, at the bare
getting
minimum.
Getting guys back that are healthy, like
yes.
Christian Gonzalez, Matt Judon.
Should be the best part of your team.
Yep,
how good
absolutely.
That is, I don't know. Whatever, we can figure that out. You mentioned sort of those one-score games and, you know, the Colts being the prime example, but there are others. The flipping of the script on that is mm-hmm. you play a much tougher schedule this year.
Oh,
with,
yes, you do.
On paper, much better quarterbacks.
I think Warren Sharp had you as either the second or third hardest schedule of the season.
And I'm with Sharp. That's sharp analysis, and I agree
yep.
with it.
Sharp's a good guy. He knows what he's doing.
You have one win last year where you beat the New York Football Jets.
Correct.
Because Aaron Rodgers was hurt.
Zach Wilson sucks.
Or at least in part because.
Largely because Zach Wilson sucks.
So as you look at the alterations to the schedule and the details, you could and maybe will face Aaron Rodgers twice this year on a Super Bowl caliber Jets team.
Yep.
That's what they are. Whether you believe
projected wise,
the
yes.
Jets are going to Jets and they fought, that all may happen. But yep. heading into the season, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, in my opinion, you have 3 teams in the AFC East who could all theoretically be a top seed in the AFC.
Okay, so those are teams you beat 2 of them last year. You
yep.
beat the Bills and you beat the Jets. The Jets
yep.
because backup quarterback, the Bills because, well, the Bills do Bills things sometimes, whatever.
Yeah. But,
greatest win of the year.
But, like, I think
Woo!
You could still steal a win from each of those teams because division opponents are division opponents, and those games are always wonky in every division across sports. And
we'll see.
Except for the Dolphins, they kick your ass.
I am a little dubious of that theory because I think the schedule is so much better. Even some of the other games that I'm with you, I have this group of, I think it's actually 7 I wrote down the other day, of
yep.
winnable games.
Yeah, it's Seattle.
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Yep.
Tennessee.
Yep.
Chicago.
Yep.
I don't know. Do you throw the Rams in there? I don't.
I don't think
I think
did.
The Rams are really good. Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. Those are all in there.
Those
and I have
6.
One more. I probably had the Bills in there just because of the Bills thing.
Yep.
I don't know. Whatever. One of the division
maybe Houston
games.
Or
Houston.
Cincinnati.
I don't have Cincinnati. I'll lay whatever points you want me to lay in the
how do you
Cincinnati.
Feel about the Indianapolis game?
I think I add that as winnable.
Okay, see, I don't. I think Indianapolis has a chance to be the one seed in the AFC. Fun fact.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Swing.
That is a huge swing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you swing for the fences, the mighty Casey has struck out and you spiral into the dirt.
Anthony Richardson, MVP, 40-1. Just saying. Go ahead.
I love your confidence.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's your intelligence that I question.
Hey, I said, I told you, this is, I have to be honest. I told you prior to not this past this draft, but the draft before Anthony Richardson was taken by the Indianapolis Colts, I said to you, Anthony Richardson would be a top five quarterback inside of, I think it was like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I think that jump comes.
Okay. I root for it because I love athletes and specimens. And
he is a specimen.
You know, we talked about Judge earlier. Like, I love when those guys succeed.
Yeah.
I just think it's fun. To me, that's what sports are. These guys are supposed. I grew up in the Bow world where athletes are borderline superheroes.
I think that's what makes Lamar so much fun. Is it's just like he's just awesome to watch, and that's kind of why I feel like it's 2019 Lamar all over again.
I think sports are better that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is going to sound like a shot. Oh, you're a hater. Like, it's great that Tom Brady wins.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when, like, Randall Cunningham does it, it just feels different.
Yeah.
Or Mike Vick, it feels different.
Yeah,
it 100%. Looks different. And so I'm from that world, and I agree totally. But I just can't get past. And the other thing is the defense, the presumption. You had a long-winded comparison. Not a shot, just telling you.
Yeah.
Mayo and Belichick, because I think you were trying to be respectful and, like.
Well, not. Yeah.
But the reality is this defense lost what I think a lot of people around here still believe is one of the greatest defensive coaches in the history of the game.
No doubt.
Who's overseeing it.
Which is why I also just said that, like, when you're comparing even Gerard Mayo to just D'Amico Ryans, one of his current peers,
sure.
Like, he is not, I don't think he's in the D'Amico Ryans category.
And I agree with you.
So he's definitely not in the Belichick category.
D'Amico Ryans is more accomplished, has done more, and D'Amico Ryans runs their defense.
Oh, yes, he does.
Gerard Mayo, if you believe him, is not running the defense. He's the CEO. We made fun of the titles earlier. He's the CEO of the team. And DeMarcus Covington is running the defense, calling plays for the first time since Eastern Michigan, where he was co-defensive coordinator like 8 years ago.
Yep.
So that's another layer of uncertainty in the coaching. And you don't have Bill Belichick. For whatever you think he did in recent years on defense, he's not there as a sounding board. He's not there as a, hey, I got 3 bullet points this week I want you guys to look into. All that's gone. So I have questions. Even if the talent returns, which you can also throw a layer of uncertainty there with Judon, what's his contract situation? What's his motivation? Christian Gonzalez, how great he is. Like, there's questions on the defensive side of the ball, even though it is by far the more settled, continuous, quality aspect of the team. But we are rolling here. Last hour of Fitzy and Hart coming up. Top of the hour, so I promised it. We'll get it. He's joining us on the line momentarily. Mike Dassault, Patriots.com. He's an optimistic fellow, I can tell
Ooh,
you that.
Nice, I like that.
We'll see if he is 7 wins optimistic, 10 wins optimistic.
Okay.
5 wins optimistic, 3 wins optimistic.
That's not optimistic.
0 wins optimistic.
That's definitely not optimism, Andy.
Patriots Talk, 617-779-7937. Mike Dassault from Patriots.com will join us top of the hour. Coming down the home stretch, Fitzy and Hart with Fitzy on a beach and Chris Scheim in a chair helping us out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI. WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Just saying that, you know, you have a nice moment with you from the sense of through your first interception camp.
Yeah.
Came right back and threw a completion. What does that mean to you? What kind of lesson is that for
you? Yeah, that's part of it, man. You can't ride the ups and downs. I come at it, you know, every play is a new play. And I just can't be too hard on myself. Sometimes I get hard on myself, especially like I said, throw my first interception. But, yeah, just got to bounce back. It's how you bounce back in this league. And, you know, I'm starting to learn that. And I bet it's a lot different in the game when it, you know, really matters. So that's what practice is for.
Skinny Chris Scheim really doing a whole act here to Drake May's theme song.
Oh, I love this song. NSYNC hits, man. They're great.
Justin Timberlake claims he was not intoxicated and the police screwed up, according to his lawyer. Same.
Same. Hey, you know.
But yes, Drake May is the topic of the summer, of every day, of every practice, of every week.
Deservedly so.
We enter the season. He's the future of the team. He is not yet the present, as Jerod Mayo made clear prior to the start of camp.
Dumb.
Jacoby Brissett's our starter. Till that changes, we'll find out when that is. Is that before week one? Is that in week two? Is that in week five? You know, some people, Dan Orlovsky, is that in 2026 after he sits for 2 years?
Disgusting.
You know, that's...
What a horrible take.
Yeah, one of the worst. One of the worst of all time.
From a guy, draft a guy at three and sit him for 2 years. How stupid are you?
And from a guy who I generally enjoy, like, I think he works hard and isn't just like a hot take artist.
No.
And that was just, I didn't really get that.
Especially in today's modern NFL. Like, So I was lucky enough to get to go to preseason last year, and I got to see the Patriots-Texans game. And I said, I remember being there looking and seeing, like, CJ Stroud was taking two overall. Are we sure? And then he had, like, the greatest rookie season I've ever seen.
Because in that game, he threw a hideous pick.
Yeah, he looked... Oh, he got a couple... Sacked a couple times.
Somebody forgot to tell him he's actually left-handed. He threw with the wrong hand.
Yeah, and I was like, what is this? And then he went on to have a phenomenal regular season. I go, ah, that's the guy I thought I knew.
So, it's like, interesting you bring up C.J. Stroud, because that's the comp that positive Patriots fans want to believe.
Yep.
Houston, C.J. Stroud, New England, Drake May, the turnaround, D'Amico Ryans, the whole thing. Yep. That's not going to happen. It just happened last year. It's not going to happen.
Unfortunately, there's a couple differences. You don't have Bobby Slowick.
You just told me you liked Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, not as much as I love Bobby Slowick. To be fair, I have loved Bobby Slowick before he even called a single play
Why?
For the Houston Texans. I like me some Bobby Slowick. Andy.
How do you fall in love with Bobby Slowick?
He worked for Kyle Shanahan. That's how. No,
you're one of them.
Yeah, I love Shanahan. You know this.
People.
Stop. You know.
I'm doing a solid job today, according to the 508.
Shout out to the 508.
It's not quite as good as Andy. You need your own show.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
Get it. All right,
dude. That was a much better text, but you getting yours.
Flex a little harder, Andy. You and your abs, like, it's fine. You don't have Bobby Slowick, and I don't know this yet, but I would like to go out on a limb and say I don't think Jerod Mayo is as good a defensive coach as D'Amico Ryans is. I think D'Amico Ryans is one of the very much more talented defensive coordinators that we have in football right now. I don't believe Jerod Mayo is quite on the same level. Those, to me, would be the two biggest differences between the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. I also don't think you necessarily have a Nico Collins on this roster, but that's neither here nor there.
I think you're lacking a lot of things on this roster.
Yeah, the left tackle that they have is pretty good.
Be a prime example of a spot that I'd love
good.
To shore up. And that's where, so I want to go back. So you have them with 7 wins.
Yes.
That's 7. Why,
yeah, but that's the difference,
in 2024.
Correct. That's
not over the next 2 years.
Like, people want to use the Texans as the example. I don't think you're going to be a playoff team.
Okay,
I don't think you're even going to be making noise right there at the end of the season.
Will there be a path in November? Remember
doubtful.
The path talk
unlikely.
We've had in past bad seasons?
Yes, unlikely. There might be by some people, but unlikely.
Okay.
So, like, I don't think you're ever going to be a borderline playoff team here, but, like, I think you're going to be right around that 9 to 12th pick in the draft area.
Okay. So let me flip the script on you a little bit.
Okay,
so you kind of brought up a common argument, which is also in some ways an understandable argument, that you had a lot of one-score games. You return your defense. Mayo's talking about it. You have continuity on defense. It should, at the bare
getting
minimum,
guys back that are healthy, like Christian Gonzalez, Matt Judon.
Should be the best part of your team.
Yep,
how good that is, I don't know. Whatever, we can figure that out. You mentioned sort of those one-score games and, you know, the Colts being the prime example, but there are others. The flipping of the script on that is you play a much tougher schedule this year.
Oh, yes, you do.
On paper, much better quarterbacks.
I think Warren Sharp had you as either the second or third hardest schedule of the season.
And I'm with Sharp. That's sharp analysis, and I agree with it.
Sharp's a good guy. He knows what he's doing.
You have one win last year where you beat the New York Football Jets.
Correct.
Because Aaron Rodgers was hurt.
Zach Wilson sucks.
Or at least in part because.
Largely because Zach Wilson sucks.
So as you look at the alterations to the schedule and the details, you could and maybe will face Aaron Rodgers twice this year on a Super Bowl caliber Jets team.
Yep.
That's what they are, whether you believe
projected wise,
the Jets are going to Jets, and they that all may happen. But heading into the season, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, in my opinion, you have three teams in the AFC East who could all theoretically be a top seed in the AFC.
Okay, so those are teams you beat two of them last year. You beat the Bills and you beat the Jets. The Jets because backup quarterback, the Bills because, well, the Bills do Bills things sometimes, whatever.
Yeah. But,
greatest win of the year.
But, like, I think you could still steal a win from each of those teams because division opponents are division opponents, and those games are always wonky in every division across sports. And
we'll see.
Except for the Dolphins, they kick your ass.
I am a little dubious of that theory because I think the schedule is so much better. Even some of the other games that I'm with you, I have this group of, I think it's actually seven I wrote down the other day, of winnable games.
Yeah, it's Seattle.
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Yep.
Tennessee.
Yep.
Chicago.
Yep.
I don't know. Do you throw the Rams in there? I don't.
I don't think
I think the Rams are really good. Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. Those are all in there.
Those
and I have
six.
One more. I probably had the Bills in there just because of the Bills thing.
Yep.
I don't know. Whatever. One of the division
maybe Houston
games.
or Cincinnati.
I don't have Cincinnati. I'll lay want me to lay in the
how do you
Cincinnati.
Feel about the Indianapolis game?
I think I had that as winnable.
Okay, see, I don't. I think Indianapolis has a chance to be the one seed in the AFC. Fun fact.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Big swing.
That is a huge swing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you swing for the fences, the mighty Casey has struck out and you spiral into the dirt.
Anthony Richardson, MVP, 40-1. Just saying. Go ahead.
I love your confidence.
I thank you. I appreciate
it. It's your intelligence that I question.
Hey, I said, I told you, this is, I have to be honest. I told you prior to not this past this draft, but the draft before Anthony Richardson was taken by the Indianapolis Colts, I said to you Anthony Richardson would be a top five quarterback inside of, I think it was like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I think that jump comes.
Okay. I root for it because I love athletes and specimens. And
he is a specimen.
You know, we talked about Judge earlier. Like, I love when those guys succeed.
Yeah.
I just think it's fun. To me, that's what sports are. These guys are supposed. I grew up in the Bow world where athletes are borderline superheroes.
I think that's what makes Lamar so much fun. Is it's just like he's just awesome to watch, and that's kind of why I feel like it's 2019 Lamar all over again. But
I think sports are better that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is going to sound like a shot. Oh, you're a hater. Like, it's great that Tom Brady wins.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when, like, Randall Cunningham does it, it just feels different.
Yeah.
Or Mike Vick, it feels different.
Yeah,
it 100%. Looks different. And so I'm from that world, and I agree totally. But I just can't get past. And the other thing is the defense, the presumption. You had a long-winded comparison. Not a shot, just telling you.
Yeah.
Mayo and Belichick, because I think you were trying to be respectful and, like.
Well, not. Yeah.
But the reality is this defense lost what I think a lot of people around here still believe is one of the greatest defensive coaches in the history of the game.
No doubt.
Who's overseeing it.
Which is why I also just said that, like, when you're comparing even Gerard Mayo to just DeMeco Ryans, one of his current peers,
sure.
Like, he is not, I don't think he's in the DeMeco Ryans category.
And I agree with you.
So he's definitely not in the Belichick category.
DeMeco Ryans is more accomplished, has done more. And DeMeco Ryans runs their defense.
Oh, yes, he does.
Gerard Mayo, if you believe him, is not running the defense. He's the CEO. We made fun of the titles earlier. He's the CEO of the team. And DeMarcus Covington is running the defense, calling plays for the first time since Eastern Michigan, where he was co-defensive coordinator like 8 years ago.
Yep.
So that's another layer of uncertainty in the coaching. And you don't have Bill Belichick. For whatever you think he did in recent years on defense, he's not there as a sounding board. He's not there as a, hey, I got three bullet points this week I want you guys to look into. All that's gone. So I have questions. Even if the talent returns, which you can also throw a layer of uncertainty there with Judon, what's his contract situation? What's his motivation? Christian Gonzalez, how great he is. Like, there's questions on the defensive side of the ball, even though it is by far the more settled, continuous, quality aspect of the team. But we are rolling here. Last hour of Fitzy and Hart coming up. Top of the hour, so I promised it. We'll get it. He's joining us on the line momentarily. Mike Dassault, Patriots.com. He's an optimistic fellow, I can tell you that.
Nice, I like that.
We'll see if he is 7 wins optimistic, 10 wins optimistic.
Okay.
5 wins optimistic, 3 wins optimistic.
That's not optimistic.
0 wins optimistic.
That's definitely not optimism, Andy.
Patriots Talk, 617-779-7937. Mike Dassault from Patriots.com will join us top of the hour. Coming down the home stretch, Fitzy and Hart with Fitzy on a beach and Chris Scheim in a chair helping us out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.